How's Johnny doing?
Doing good.
Okay. Fantastic. She's done with it? How to talk to Dave. Yeah, that car doesn't fit today, and then I'm getting results for another week or two. They have to send them in someplace. Yeah, and that's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's stupid.
Well, Jan did take him. Spirit, yeah. Spirit, and everything.
She did. Why? Why should be nice?
They have to admit me. I don't know what they can hear. So that being said, he's, you know, been pretty good. He had a tough night last night, typically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this side effects from some medicine, so he's going to get on the horn tomorrow. I told him definitely. Sounds like side effects. Even if you have one side effect.
Yeah. I mean, you remember how you were feeling?
Yeah.
You were feeling, I think the chest would be pressed on.
Yeah, like I'm allergic to all the sins, you know.
All the sins.
Right. No, I don't. For some reason, I'm not hungry. I don't know.
Can everybody hear me? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Thanks, everybody, for participating tonight and showing up, dialing in. Do we have any public at large online?
Yes. Yes, my name. Yeah, my name is Paul Harmon.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Do we have any
Mike
others
Murphy.
Who would like to introduce?
Mike Murphy.
Mike.
Yes.
Mike, thank you.
Karen.
Dan Frazier,
thank you.
Yep. Karen.
Karen.
Gary. Yeah, Karen Gary.
Okay, thank you, Karen. Anybody else?
This is Ken. I'm here.
Hey, Ken, welcome. Welcome. Okay, everybody ready for the meeting? We'll bring this regular meeting to order Tuesday, December 15th, 2020 at 6 p.m. Meeting is on order. Could we get a roll call, Danielle, please?
Yes, can I state one thing? For all public members, if you can please press *6 to mute your phones.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, roll call. Sharon?
Here.
Jill?
Here.
Ken?
Here.
Richard?
Present.
Roy?
Here. At this time, I'd like to give the board members the opportunity to declare any potential interest of conflict of interest.
I'm good.
I have none.
Ken?
I have none.
Richard?
None for me.
Roy, none. At this time, are there any modifications, additions, and or changes to the agenda to be asked for?
I'm good.
Ken?
I'm good.
Sharon?
I'm good.
I'm good.
Richard?
I'm fine.
Roy, none. Thank you. At this time, could we get a motion to approve the agenda as written?
I make a motion to approve the agenda as written.
Motion by Joe Spears. Could we get a second?
This is Ken. I'll second it.
We have a second by Commissioner Kinrange. Danielle, roll call, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. At this time, could we get an approval of the meeting minutes for regular commission meeting Tuesday, November 17th, 2020?
I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes for Tuesday, November 17th, 2020.
Can I get a roll call, Danielle, please?
Second.
Can I get a second? I'm sorry.
Sorry, Roy. I second it.
This is Ken. I'll second it.
Okay. Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
I have to abstain. The answer is no. I was not present at that meeting. So we have a motion that does carry. Okay, public comments. Does anybody of the public sector have anything they would like to add, discuss, or make a comment about at this time on the agenda as written? Does anybody from the public sector have any comments?
To unmute, you push star six if you do have a public comment. And Roy, I did not receive any emails.
Okay. Okay, so at this time, I'm assuming there are no public comments. If somebody wants to come in later, being it is a teleconference, maybe some difficulties with the phone or something, whatever, I'll gladly take you later. Moving on to line five, management reports. Gary?
All right, so on the financial report, end of the month, unrestricted cash and equivalents total $378,076. Restricted cash and equivalents totaled $902,227. Total assets for November was $1,317,702. The profit and loss for November, the total revenues from all funds were $396,585. Total expenses were $455,348. The net income for the port was a negative $58,763. So some of the unusual expenses in the month were to McLennan Excavation for the demolition of Zola's Pizzeria and restoration for $92,516. We also paid our CPA annual audit review. That was $10,500 to C.J. Huntsman, and then our consultant, General Burns, for $5,000. So the port also received $6,286 for reimbursement from the Coronavirus Relief Fund. Those were for purchase for extra cleaning materials and extra cleaning for our staff. The other thing I want to make a note of is every month, we transfer $47,945 to our out of our general fund and goes to our debt funds. I mean, that just comes out every month, $47,000. So it's a big number that we have to do every month to pay our debts off. And what it does, it actually helps us when this USDA debt, $130,126, on November 6th, they just zap that money right out of our bank account. So you got to have that money in there. They just take it. So it's good. It's good to have that money transferred every month to put away to make these payments. So that's pretty much on a financial report. Anybody have any questions or comments?
I'm good.
Sharon?
No questions. Good job, Gary.
Thank you, Sharon. Ken?
I have no questions.
Richard?
No questions.
Hey, thanks, everybody. Good job, Gary. You got anything on the safety report, Gary, for us?
Danielle, want to say something on the safety report?
Yeah, well, in November, I trained port staff just on updated COVID-19 rules. There was no employee accidents for November, so that's good. November 5th, we did have a boat sink in the harbor. There was no pollution, and the owner's insurance was contacted, and a salvage company came out a few days later and removed the boat from the harbor. And that was pretty much the big accident for November. Is there any questions?
I do have a question.
Okay.
I noted here that on the 23rd of November, the staff found a mason jar full of blasting caps floating in the boat basin. Any plausible explanation for where those might have come from?
No.
Who identified those, Travis?
The Curry County Sheriff's Department.
Wow. Okay.
Any suspicions?
Nope. They were floating in the water. I mean, the mason jar had a lot of water in it, so they weren't an active problem, I guess. But the Curry County Sheriff's Department are the ones that identified them as what they were. But where they came from, I have not a clue.
Okay, thanks.
Good job on that, guys, for safety. Travis, you'd like to add anything to the Harbor Master's report?
Well, Danielle hit on the boat that sunk there. I kind of put in there in my report, I kind of went how that wrote in there, how it went. I like to think of that as a perfect example of why we have the rules we have, why we require the insurance that we have. It was both beneficial to the port, the owner of the vessel, to have the insurance. I think it was handled very swiftly and properly. And, you know, it was an ideal situation. You know, the boat sinking wasn't ideal, but since it did happen, it worked out the way that we anticipated them working out. So that was a bonus to see our rules working. And, you know, we did about 51 work orders throughout the port. So the guys stayed busy. Is there any questions that anybody has on it?
What was the cost, Travis? What did the salvage company charge? What was their total bill?
You know, I haven't actually seen their bill. Being that we used them as a third party that was accepted from the insurance company, their bills went directly to the insurance company.
Okay.
So our cost, I think it was $1,400, $1,500. With the labor and the booms, the haul out, everything together. So from the port side, it really wasn't too bad. And we submit all of our costs to that third-party salvager. And then he will reimburse us.
Okay, very good. Any questions, Sharon?
No, I have none. Thanks.
Ken?
No.
Richard?
No.
Joe?
No.
Roy? No. Gary, you got anything to add for the port manager's report?
Yeah. So the governor's rules for the coronavirus last month closed our port office for a couple weeks. But our staff continued operating by the phone and online. And I just sent the commissioners another update. I guess the county's gone into extreme level now, or extreme risk. Those measures are supposed to take effect on Friday, but I just closed the office again, just like we did before, but we continue servicing our guests or customers by phone or online. So I don't know how long it's going to be that we stay in this extreme risk area, but that's one reason why we're doing this meeting teleconference only as well. Security side of things, we had recorded 17 contacts, violations, or incidents in November. Three overnight parking issues where they obeyed and left the port. Three parking violations. A couple of people were trying to camp, and we had graffiti in the women's kite field restroom. There, someone was spray painting our walls. Let's see, the port office stuff. Let's see, anything important in there? Traffic counter for the RV park, that continues to hold strong, 1,000 cars a day. The visitor center lease ended November 30th. I have a potential new tenant looking at the site. I'll probably have a lease going to the board next month. Seal Cove Realty, their lease was terminated. I do have more information and information item that we can talk about then. Any other questions on my report?
Gary, this is Ken. Sure. I have just one question. Is the Desire still in our port, or is it gone?
Oh, Desire did leave Sunday. They went back to Crescent City, from my understand.
Thank you.
Good question, Ken. Thank you. Richard?
I don't have a question. I'd just like to compliment Gary on the meeting summary for 2020. I think that's a great idea and very helpful for us for future reference. So I appreciate seeing that.
Thank you, Richard. I as well. Sharon?
No, I'll have some questions later, but it's on our agenda. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Sharon. Joe?
No, I'm fine.
All right. With that being said, is there any further discussion from the board?
I have one further item, Roy. This is Richard. I would just like to make sure we recognize the fact that the Coast Guard boat is gone and has successfully made its way to Westport, Washington.
Is that... You said something in a meeting a while back, Richard, that was monumental to me. It was on an agenda item, and you said we should memorialize that. I believe we should memorialize this as well, Richard. It was a long time coming. I think it's in a great home, and I hope we all get to go visit and see it in a better state of condition one day. So with that being said, can I get a motion to approve the manager's reports?
I make a motion to approve the management reports for November 2020 as discussed.
Can I get a second to Joe Spears' motion?
Second.
I have a second from Sharon. Roll call, Danielle.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Moving to action items, line 6. Action item A, supplemental budget, fiscal year 2020-21. Gary. Gary, would you like to comment on action item A?
Oh, sorry. I muted myself and I forgot to unmute.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is our supplemental budget that we just approved in our supplemental budget hearing. This is just an official action to approve it in our regular meeting.
Any comments or questions from the board before I call for a motion? Sharon?
No.
Ken?
No.
Richard?
No.
Joe?
No.
Roy, no. Could I get a motion to approve the supplemental budget fiscal year 2020-21?
Make a motion to approve resolution number 549, resolution adopting the budget.
Could I get a second for Richard's motion?
I second it.
Okay, motion seconded. Could I get a roll call, Danielle?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item B, resolution number 546, debt service to the RV Park Improvement Fund. Could we get a motion to approve that? Any discussion from the board? Okay, we got a motion on the table by Ken. Could I get a second?
I second it.
Roll call, Danielle.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item C, resolution number 547 for construction fund. Any discussion from the board?
No.
Sharon? Ken?
No.
Richard?
No.
Joe?
No.
Could I get a motion to approve resolution number 547 Port Commission Construction Fund?
I make a motion to approve draft resolution number 547 Port Construction Fund.
Roll call, Danielle.
I'll second that.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Moving to action item D, resolution number 548, signing documents for lot line adjustment. Any discussion from the board?
No.
Gary, you got any comments you'd like to make?
No, other than we just need to get this approved so we can move forward with lot line adjustment, get it resolved.
Okay, any discussion from the board? Sharon?
None.
Ken?
No.
Richard?
Yes, I do. Again, this is one of those things we should memorialize. Take a minute to talk about this. You know, this is the culmination of a lot of work on the part of port staff, a couple of port commissioners and our attorney to take us from litigation to a mutually agreed upon and beneficial settlement between the parties. I think that's a pretty admirable thing. I would like to recognize that Chairman Davis played a key role in establishing the communications between the parties. And I think this is a pretty significant step and something that I think we should be proud of.
Thank you for that, Richard. And I agree with you. It's been a long battle, years. So yeah, memorialize this by all means. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve resolution number 548, signing documents for lot line adjustment?
I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 548, signing documents for lot line adjustment.
Thank you, Richard. Could I get a second on Richard's motion?
Second.
All three of us.
Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken? Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item E, Pacific Seafood Lease Extension. Carrie?
All right. We're on action item E, right?
Yes, that is correct.
All right. Pacific Seafood Group sublease. This is a sublease for another 3 months. Actually, it's going to be like a month and a half by the time this is completed. So the Pacific Seafood wants to continue subleasing it from the bank. And this is our port's approval to continue doing that.
Any discussion from the board? Sharon?
So, Gary, have they said anything to you about it, even leasing that beyond that time?
I only heard some rumors. Travis actually talked to one of their foremen over there. He might shed some light on that.
When I spoke with Brett at Pack Choice, he said that DEQ extended their provisional 900J permit, kind of what they're acting under now, through 2021. So it'll be for another year that they have the approval for. Apparently, the Charleston plant is meeting the requirements, and they're going to give this plant the next year to keep doing a better job of lowering their numbers and to be able to keep operating out of here. So sounds like they have the go-ahead for another year.
Well, thank you. At least we have a chance there anyway.
Sharon, that same interest was shared to me by Brett himself as well.
Well, that's good news. Thank you.
You're welcome, Sharon. Ken, any discussion? Comments?
No.
Richard?
No.
Joe?
No.
Roy, no. Could I get a motion to approve the Pacific Seafood lease extension?
This is Ken. I'll make a motion to approve.
Is that Richard going ahead?
Go ahead. Was that you, Ken?
Yeah, I didn't finish it. I don't know. Did somebody else?
Go ahead, Ken. Make your motion, please.
Make a motion to approve draft sublease extension agreement with BC Fisheries and Pacific Seafood Group for 3 months through January 31st, 2020.
Hey, Roy?
Yes.
That date's not right.
Yes. Have Ken say 2021 on that. There was a typo on the motion. Okay. Sorry.
Did you hear Gary there, Ken?
Yeah. I'll amend my motion to January 31, 2021.
Thank you, Ken. Could we get a second on Ken's motion?
I second it.
Second.
We have a second on Ken's motion. Danielle, could I get a roll call, please?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item F, Hungry Clam lease. Gary?
Yeah, Hungry Clam, the current owner is no longer selling Hungry Clam. She's going to continue operating it with her daughter. And they wanted to go through another 3 more years of the lease with additional 3 years. So this is what the lease is. And Travis and I have been working hard with them to clean up their storage area, and they've done a great job. So I feel pretty good about this lease moving forward.
Any discussion from the board? Sharon?
I have to say that it does look a lot better over there. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Ken?
I concur with Gary and Sharon that it does look a lot better.
Very, very good. Thank you, Ken. Richard?
No, I have nothing.
Joe?
Nothing.
I also concur with the other two commissioners and Gary. Much better, and they have been very cooperative with management and the port's request. So I am all in favor. It's been a great business, a great tenant for many, many years. One of the original businesses in this port retail complex, in fact. So with that being said, would anybody like to make a motion to approve the Hungry Clam lease?
I make a motion to approve the draft Hungry Clam amended and reinstated lease.
Could we get a second on Joe's motion?
Restated. I'll second it.
Thank you, Richard. Roll call, Danielle.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken? Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item G, Crow Clay contract amendment number 3. Gary?
All right, this amendment basically just memorializing what the board approved in the last meeting for the changes at the RV park for the floodplain issue that we found. That's it.
Gary, just for public sector, could you make mention, are there any added costs to this amendment or negative?
Oh, yeah, it's $6,500 to make these revisions.
Thank you for that, Gary.
You're welcome.
Any discussion from the board? Sharon?
So have they given you any idea when they're going to be ready for us to be able to move forward, Gary?
When you say them, I'm not sure who you're referring to, but Crow Clay and Associates. Yeah, they just finished revising their drawings, and they provided Harbor Sanitary with the revised drawings. Basically, Harbor Sanitary is holding up moving forward because we won't get a permit approved from the county without Harbor Sanitary's signature on their permit forms. So we have to go through Harbor Sanitary procedures, and they got the revised drawings today. Their engineer got the revised drawings today.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yep.
Gary, any idea how long it will be before Harbor Sanitary will respond to accept or not accept these revised drawings for the record?
Well, it might be a week or two. They had a whole list of requirements or requests from the first review. So we'll see what they come up with. They want some kind of a test on our lids of a 5 foot of water over the caps test type of thing. So we'll deal with that and so hopefully get that hurdle passed and then get it signed. So I'm hoping by the end of the year, maybe the first part of next year to get this resolved. If not, then obviously we're going to talk about it some more.
Okay, thank you for that, Gary. Any discussion from you, Ken?
Negative.
Richard?
Yes. This is speculative because we haven't been formally notified of this, but responding to the comment about the rumor, which probably is dangerous, but if we're required to come up with some sort of a certification that our sewer caps will sustain no leakage under 5 feet of water, I assume that becomes a new standard for everybody on Lower Harbor Road. And a 5 foot inundation standard would include the Driftwood RV park, would include the motel, would include the grill, So I'm curious if that becomes a standard, then that's going to have some pretty far-reaching implications. So I'm hoping that what you've heard is just merely a rumor and not a new specification. So with that, I have nothing further to add.
Thank you Richard.
Roy?
Yes, Sharon.
I attended Harbor Sanitary's board meeting, and it was their board's topic that it would have to be proven by the port that our caps would withstand leakage under 5 foot of water. And it was also brought to their attention that they also have manholes and things down there. And we were told, the audience, that that is grandfathered in and it doesn't count. So that's what was said.
Thank you for that on the record, Sharon.
Well, with that in mind, Mr. Chairman, I have further comments then.
Please, Richard.
So if that's going to be the standard, then I'm certain that when Harbor Sanitation builds their new facility on that piece of property they bought from us, they're going to comply with that also.
Thank you for that, Richard.
I don't believe that facility would be grandfathered in, is my point. So, but I don't want to belabor this anymore.
Right. Point taken, Richard. Point taken. We'll further research this at another time. And thank everybody for their comments, their concerns. My concern is the ever non-ending amendment charges we're being charged for. $6,500 is not all the money in the world. It's not going to make or break the port, but it certainly adds up, you know, in a number of times. So that's my concern. With that being said, are there any other further comments or questions? Joe?
No, I agree with what you said, though, Roy.
Okay. With that being said, can I get a motion to approve the Crow Clay contract procurement as written?
I make a motion to approve the draft Crow Clay contract amendment number 3 as written. I just wanted to put that in there. But
can I get a second to Joe's motion?
This is Ken. I'll second it.
Thank you for that, Ken. Roll call, Danielle, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Action item H, the security camera procurement. Gary?
All right. So we completed another round of proposal reviews. We got three proposals, and basically all three are different types of security camera systems and different approaches to getting it installed as well. I kind of laid out on my summary here of what each one provides. I guess to put it quickly, myself and staff are recommending organ alarm system, type of system. We met with other ports, Coos Bay, Bandon, and also Port Orford, and they all use organ alarm as well as a bunch of other local businesses, and they have a great reputation. So we feel pretty confident. We've seen the systems, we've seen the cameras actually in action. They're quite impressive. The Coos Bay, I think I noted there, they have like 43 cameras. They just upgraded their port with more cameras. They got 43 cameras right now. They said most of them were overlooking the RV park because that's their most of their theft, and they cut down a lot of their theft happening at their RV park. That's pretty much all I got. Unless you got some questions, comments.
Any questions, comments from the discussion from the board? Sharon?
Well, I think the system is really very nice. I'm kind of reluctant about it because of the situation we have going on with the COVID and the shortage of dollars coming in that, you know, my thinking is that maybe we should look at this sometime next year.
Thank you for that, Sharon. Ken, any comment, input?
No, I'm going with Gary's recommendation.
Richard?
No, I have none.
Joe?
I agree with Sharon. I think we need to hold off on this for a while. I know staff's worked on it, but I think we need just to save some money for a little bit and see what's going on the next 3, 4, 5, 6 months. $48,000 is actually quite a bit of money to be spending at this present time, I think. And the reason I say that is because I listened to the audit review last month, and she even said that we should probably watch what we're doing a little bit, you know?
Myself, I'm going to hold off and vote with a comment. So at this time, is there any further discussion from any of the board members or Gary or staff?
Did Richard have any comments? I didn't hear from Richard one way or another before I say something.
Richard agreed with you, Gary.
Okay, I'm sorry. I thought that was Ken. All right.
That was Ken. I'm sorry. Richard, would you recomment, please, Richard?
Well, my comment is that I agree with staff recommendations. I understand I understand the concern about the budget. I'm just reluctant to keep kicking this can down the road. That's my biggest concern, is we've deferred action on these cameras for a long time.
Yeah, that was my comment too. When I first came back a couple of years ago, that was the first thing that we wanted to do, is get cameras installed at our port. I know this is like the first phase. I mean, we do have the money. I know we want to save for the future in case of COVID. That's just like anything else that we got to, you know, manage going through COVID. We do have reserve funds in case. In case we do run into problems with COVID. I think it's pretty important to have cameras at least overseeing some part of our port. I mean, we don't have to spend the full $49,000. I just put in a request to spend up to $49,000. It'll be really important to have some cameras here to start off with, and our main system in the office to add on years later. We can add more cameras later. We don't have to, like I said, we don't have to spend a full $49,000. We can put in several of these nice cameras that rotate, and we can, you know, zoom in half a mile and see what's going on. Like I said, we don't have to put in the full $49,000 either. So that's my comment. I don't know if Travis wants to say anything, because Travis helped me out quite a bit overseeing this stuff too.
Travis, would you please put... Go ahead, Charles, please.
I think it's something that throughout my time being here over the last 10 years, we've talked about cameras. You know, now that we do have an opportunity and actually the funds to do it, I think some extra eyes over our port is going to be very helpful. These will be put in key locations, so it's looking over a broad area of the port, that if something happens, we'll be able to actually maybe be able to look at it. It's also something that we plan on being able to have with these cameras, having one pointed at the bar and the channel. Port of Bandon had a pretty good setup that they live stream the camera looking at the bar, which currently we don't have anything looking at our bar. And then they have other businesses doing advertisements on it that are actually paying for that camera and the use of having it. So there is opportunities for us to introduce more advertisement on it. Is it going to pay for all of it? No, but is it going to maybe help with maintenance and the upkeep of them? Yes, that will. And I just think too that, you know, we were talking about using our reserve funds. We do have enough money now set aside that we don't have to use our reserve funds. It's, you know, there's a lot of things that we have going on at the port, you know, a lot of infrastructure upgrades that we're doing. And we don't have eyes for all of it. And, you know, our security company, you know, they're only at 2 hours. So if we have anything rolling that it records what's happening at this port, you know, I think it will be valuable information to have, you know, even if it only comes through one time a year, you know, that one time a year might save, you know, I just think it's a good idea if we have the money to do it now. That's all.
Thank you, Travis. I have some concerns about the cameras from the past. There's been two attempts, two pretty vain attempts here to put cameras in the port. One from an outfit over in Medford wanted to do it and, you know, advertise and this and that. Both attempts have been large failures, to say the least, and cost the port tons of money to get them up and going. And then nobody wanted to maintain them. They didn't work. The administration on the website was a failure. So my concerns are the failure in the past. Are they admissible in court? I haven't heard anything yes or no on that from the DA standpoint. Some of the things in the budget that concerned me, I was not aware of $55,000 of deferred payment from maintenance and more tenant and mooring holders. There are some engineering costs, consulting costs, permitting costs. There are concerns of mine that keep popping up on all these projects we have going, that we have going and we need to keep going and keep paying for. Without a groundbreaking taking place yet on any of them except for the fuel dock project. It would not be beyond me to want to hold off for 6 months. I'm going to vote yes. I'm going to go against my grain. That is my comment. But I am going to vote yes. But I would really like to see this followed through. Travis is right. We've talked about it for umpteen years. And like I said, in the past, there's been two attempts. You know, I don't know if they were in-house or out-of-house or what house they were out of, but they did not work and they cost the port a lot of money. One was a very large scale and it failed. So I'm going to vote yes when the time comes time to call for a vote. I'm going to trust the staff. I feel the staff has led this board fairly well, exceptionally well, in fact, on everything. So I'm going to trust the staff, and I hope that we can get the cameras up and going as soon as possible, spend the money, get it done, get it over with, get it up and going, and let's take advantage of any way we can of this camera system. Those are my comments. So are there any further discussion from staff or the board? Sharon?
I agree with you.
Ken?
No comments.
Richard?
Well, I would note, just so we don't forget, we have had public testimony at several of our meetings from our mortgage holders particularly about security concerns in the port. We've addressed at least one of those by putting a lock on the showers, and I think this is a move to continue to help address their concerns as well as improve our capabilities in assessing what the security issues are at the port and moving forward to help address those as well. So I'm going to vote yes for this, certainly.
I agree with you, Richard, in all aspects of the users of the port benefiting. And I think that's what this board and this port is all about, is protecting at the best of our ability the public, doing what we can for security, and now the health issues with the COVID, wearing our mask and abiding by the governor's shutdown rules. So the port user is very important to me as well, Richard. Very well said, Richard. Any other further comments? Joe?
No.
Okay, with that all being said, that was a great...
I have one question.
Yes. Yes, Ken, please.
The system being recommended by the staff is Oregon Alarm, correct?
Yes. And I want to add one thing. It's going to be several months down the road before these cameras get in place, because there's a long back order on cameras. So they anticipate at least 2 months down the road. So we're still 2 months out, at least.
Thank you for that heads up, Gary. That makes things easier. If we understand the time frames and delays of everything, I feel that the board has been best informed. Would anybody like to make a motion to approve the security camera procurement as written?
This is Ken. I'll make a motion. A motion to approve all necessary expenditures for the initial installation of the security camera system with Oregon Alarm, not to exceed $49,000, and allow the port manager or designee to sign a contract documents to complete this project.
Thank you, Ken. Very good. Any further discussion from the board before I call for a motion?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. We have a second from Richard. Can we get a roll call, Danielle, please?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
No.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. With that being said, we move on to action item A, Pitney Bowes, NASPO Value Point Mailing. Postage equipment lease. Gary?
All right. Our existing mailing and postage system, machine system, the agreement is ending. And this is a replacement for the current machine. And this is the contract. And the machine, the staff likes the machine. And it's a 60-month lease. I think it's $141 a month. That's pretty much it. Any questions?
Sharon?
No.
Ken, any discussion, comments?
No.
Richard?
No.
Joe?
No.
Roy, no. Could I get a motion to approve Pitney Bowes NASPO Value Point Mailing / Postage Equipment Lease?
I make a motion to approve the Pitney Bowers NAPSO Value Point Mailing and Postage Equipment Lease for the port port office.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Joe. We have a second by Sharon. Can I get a roll call, Danielle, please?
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Moving on to information items. Information item A, travel list erosion protection. Gary?
Yeah, I'll let Travis speak on this one.
Travis?
So we went over with Pepe what we were going to do. They recommended basically a series of OSFO, assault terminator, and then a sealer, a rust inhibitor on that. We have already done it. We've already applied it. So we should hopefully see the difference. It'll be something that we have to continue to monitor. It could be something that we have to do annually, maybe semi-annually. It's going to kind of depend until we get a some sort of shelter or cover or something for it. The first application of that ran us right about $1,000. So, at least once a year, we're probably going to be looking at maybe twice a year, $1,000 or $2,000 just in protection of the equipment.
Thank you for that, Travis. Sharon?
No, I'm glad to see we're taking care of it. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Ken?
No questions.
Thank you. Richard?
No questions.
Joe?
Okay, Travis, here we go. Since I deal with steel boats all the time, OSFO does work, but it doesn't work in the conditions we got right now. And it doesn't work with just one application with OSFO. You got to do it like I do it, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times until it completely turns black. Your salt terminator, what is that? I don't know any that works, period. The OSFO would work great. I'd like to know what you're going to put it on. Is it just fittings or is it throughout the travel lift? I'll let you go from there for a little bit. How's that sound, Trav? Let me explain to me what you guys are going to do with the OSFO.
It's for all the fittings and the connections. That's all we're using it on.
Okay.
I'm trying to take it within reason of what we have. I mean, we spent the fittings, everything that we have out there are the things that seem to be deteriorating quickly. The pipe, everything else seems to be hanging in there just fine. So regardless what we use, it wasn't recommended for us to wrap it with anything. It will make it to where we can't inspect or see what's going on. So regardless what we have around here, these are all, there isn't a, I don't know of a solution for what we have over here. No matter what we have, it's already on a time basis. So, this is just, it's preventative. It's to help. Is it going to solve it? No, it's not anything we do out there is not going to solve it. We're trying to slow down the inevitable. That's what I'm trying to do. If you have any other, recommendations, I'm more than willing to talk about them and see how they apply. Pape Material Handling is the person that we have that does our servicing for it. So I asked him to give me a recommendation, and I implemented his recommendation.
Okay, Trav. Well, there is,
I'm open to more suggestions. If you have them, anytime, pull me aside and we can talk about, other things that we can do to help slow it down.
Okay, well, I know something that would work better. The OSFO is going to work fine, but you got to have really good conditions. And I can show you on the boat what I do. And I'll just come in and see you. I know between the two of us, we won't have a problem. We'll get it solved.
Yeah. Okay.
And Travis, that's awesome news. You're on the right road, buddy. You're on the exact right road. Maintenance, you're on the right road, 100%. Got to do something. And it is a very wicked environment that our machinery and our all of our equipment, our autos, our boats, everything metal goes through on this coast. So just trying anything is a great start. So Thank you for that. Any other comments or questions, Sharon?
Nothing. Thank you.
Ken?
No.
Richard?
No.
Joe?
No. Thanks, Travis.
You're welcome.
All right. And that's a big one. That's a big one. We got a lot of money invested in that machine, and the return is coming very slowly, unfortunately. Might even get slower, but the maintenance is very admirable. It's good to hear that that's getting done. With that being said, we'll move on to information items, Seal Cove Realty Lease. Gary?
All right. I included a letter in the meeting packet so everybody knows what was sent to Charles Simpson and why he defaulted on his lease. Any comments or questions at this point?
Sharon?
No.
Ken?
No.
Richard?
No.
Joe?
No.
Roy? No. Thank you for that information and that heads up on that. That business has been there for a long, long time. It's been a great tenant for a long, long time. So just the times and life stepping in there. So sorry to see that business going away. Ronald Berger, small claim case, information item C. Gary?
Yeah, so Travis received a small claims notice. A mortgage holder, Ronald Berger, filed a claim in Jackson County, which was the wrong venue. We've been consulting our counsel every step of the way. Jackson County judge transferred it to Curry County, and we're waiting for further action from Curry County court. We haven't heard anything yet. So, you have any questions? Comments?
I'm coming to talk to Gary.
Huh?
I'm coming to talk to Gary. Okay. Yes,
Sharon?
No.
Ken, any questions, comments on the Ronald Berger?
No.
Richard?
I do have a comment. I would note for the record that in this instance, the port followed its established procedure in dealing with this. This wasn't some one-off unusual thing. They did what they have set out for everybody at the port and followed that procedure to the letter.
Absolutely, Richard. Well said, and I agree. Moving on to information item D, DEQ Tier 1 report. Gary?
Yes. I included this in this meeting just to show how our tests are going. So I made a spreadsheet to show the three tests on each location and kind of progression or kind of where we're headed, just to give you guys an idea of what we're dealing with on these stormwater tests. The Tier 1 report is required every time we do a test and we fail benchmarks. The tests that we're doing now is kind of like a free grace period from what we've found out. The real test matrix or average will start next year. So we're going to be testing tomorrow, and that will finish our first year of testing. And then next year, it really counts for the reporting and whether or not we go to Tier 2 status. And like I said, I consulted with Jack Aiken on this last round of tests, and he says that we're doing everything that we could possibly do at this point. And he said, continue doing what we're doing. Comments, questions?
Sharon?
No, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, Sharon. Ken?
No.
Richard?
I would just comment that particularly at the boatyard, it looks like some things are getting worse, like copper, whereas others seem to be a little better. It's kind of a mixed bag throughout the port, but I guess all I can say is that I'm committed to keep doing this, and I hope the results improve over time.
Richard, I agree with you 100% on that. Looking at it, there are some yards up north that have been fighting this for years. One is AMCO. It's a wooden boatyard that's been there since before World War II. In fact, it built many, many, many wooden World War II minesweepers. And they've been fighting DEQ for umpteen years. And it's one of the most pristine pieces of property. You would think you were in a park somewhere, a national park, when you step onto their property. So far, they have not lost the yard yet. It's a big economic impact that to that community because it's a wooden boat specialty yard. They service a minimum of 47 wooden boats a year. Those boats would have to go somewhere else, and that AMCO is basically the only specialty wooden boat yard on the West Coast that is left. So these yards, as is ours, important to our economic to do here with our port. The DEQ standards are high. I believe that our staff is doing everything they possibly can. It's kind of like butting your head up against a brick wall again because of other entities, and they set the rules and the guidelines. And the port is not failing 100% because of what the port's doing. We have a lot of other concerns that add to the pollution in this port. So I commend the staff for biting their tongue and doing the test and just keep doing what we're doing. And I hope, as you, Richard, that it gets better as time goes on. Some way the tides will turn, and we'll get some good tests and some good grace here. Any further comments, questions, Joe? Yes, Sharon, please.
So, Roy, on that wooden boatyard that where they build the wooden boats, is that just like our yard that has dirt, or is it asphalted?
It's probably 90% dirt with grass, flowers, trees, shrubbery, landscaping, and it's been like that since the war. The buildings all have the World War II office furniture still in them as it was back in the day. The buildings are spit shined clean. It was run to military specifications. It's under the third ownership. But yes, Sharon, it is mostly dirt, grass, vegetation, landscaping. Yes.
Well, thank you for that, because when we do the asphalting out there, that may help solve some of our issue.
If we're allowed to cover it up, absolutely. I hope that is true. That along with the sediment filter and the washdown drain area and some stringent enforcement in the, you know, the yard itself with tarpage and cleanup, it's a tough deal. I mean, these boats have been around for a long time. They're still going to be around for a long time, whether they're steel, fiberglass, aluminum, wood, whatever. They are all a contaminant. They are all they all have possibility and potential to pollute in one way or another. So the boat yard, the boat basin, our parking lots, it's a hair puller. But yes, in answer to your question, Sharon, it is that yard, that's a very large yard. It still has the original railways there. It still has the original cranes that have steel wheels. A very impressive place to visit. If anybody ever got to Astoria, it's a beautiful place to go check out. So anyway, Tier 1 report. Any further questions or comments for Gary or staff? Okay, moving on to information item E. That would be the ice house pile and catwalk damage. Gary?
All right, this
this is an update of what's happening. Last month we reported that Warrior 2 damaged one of the piles and the catwalk. Their insurance company is picking up the tab to repair, actually put in a new piles and repair the catwalk. Jack Aikman was hired by the insurance company to get the permitting to allow Legacy to do the work. Legacy is going to do our work first. Before they leave, they're going to repair that under their insurance work. So all the permits are in place, and apparently everything's a go. I'm getting it fixed.
Gary, is there an estimate in place?
A cost estimate?
Yes.
I have not heard a cost estimate. We could probably find out through Jack, since he's...
Okay. If that comes across your table, could you please email that out to the commissioners, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, I can give updates in the next meeting too, just so it's public. I don't know why.
Okay. Yeah. That would be better. That would be great.
Yep.
That would be awesome, Gary. Thank you for that.
Yep. You bet.
Any further discussion or comments from the board, Sharon?
Not on that, but are we letting people know where we've moved things around, like trying to locate trash now that people keep going to the same old place back behind the building over there in the boatyard? I mean, how are these people knowing what's going on?
Gary?
We had a sign up there for quite a while now, that diverting them back to the old boat shop. Word of mouth has been the best way for it to get across. There's still a lot of people that have pulled in there, but Kenny's actually done a really good job of helping just divert them back down to where they are located at now.
Travis, would that be something?
Go ahead.
Would that be something we would post on our website for our users?
Is there a huge amount of people that aren't being able to find it? Because I haven't, the port nor myself has got an overwhelming amount of people that said they can't find it. So I would be happy to put it on there, but I haven't. This is the first I've heard if there's an issue with people trying to find it.
Yeah, I myself have been getting contacted and just haven't gotten to you yet. But, you know, it wouldn't cost us anything, and it probably would save a lot of grief if there was just some kind of post somewhere, just an opinion. Any further discussions, Ken?
I just have one comment to make.
Yes, please.
I've been doing quite a bit of research on abandoned derelict vessels, and one of the people I've discussed in detail with is Jane McIver of the Association of Pacific Ports in Vancouver, British Columbia, and she's going to be putting a major article out in their paper on the next issue.
What was his name again, Ken?
Jane McIver.
Jane, J-A-N-E?
Our port will be mentioned in it.
Great. Okay. Thank you for that. Thank you for your time on that, Ken.
Yeah.
Richard, anything?
I just have a question probably for Joe or you. What's going on with the crab season? Tomorrow's opening day. Is there gear in the water right now?
I'm going to hand that right over to Joe. He's right handy here. Richard, Joe?
All right. Crab season. We haven't got a price right now, so we're pretty much tied to the boards. I don't think several of the fish companies are going to come out with the price until after Christmas. A couple of them said that the weather conditions are awfully extreme for the smaller boats. I guess that's true. It's just coming down to they don't want the crab right now, and they don't want them until probably January 1. So we'll probably be tied up until the first of the year.
Richard, I'm going to ask Joe a question for the record here. Joe, I had talked to somebody today and heard, I haven't researched, I haven't called the horse's mouth yet, but I was told that there was a price out there for $185 a pound up to $225 a pound for the first pull. After the first pull, there was no price. Do you know anything about that, Joe?
I didn't hear that, but there has been some price offers of like, I do believe $250 until the 23rd of the month. And then after that, there would be no price. But no one took that. The natives up in Washington haven't accepted any prices yet. So that's all I really know about that, Roy.
Yeah. So what that does, Richard, is you go out and you set 500 pots and you go out and you pull and you deliver your first pull. And then you got 500 pots out in the ocean fishing with bait and possibilities of storms, getting stuck, getting washed up on the beach, and you have no price. So what do? You got to go out there. You have no price for 2 months. You go out there, you got to pull your gear up, dump the crab, haul your gear back to the port. Quite a mess this year, Richard, with that type of offer, if indeed that is fact. And mine came from what I consider a very good source. But, yeah, it's a tough start this year for everybody on the whole West Coast. You got the whale entanglement. You got a sea turtle thing thrown in there this year.
Got COVID and COVID. Yeah,
COVID for transportation, cooking. Buyers aren't buying. Overseas markets are shut down. Everything is stacked, not in good favor of any fisherman at this moment.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Richard.
And I got one thing on the garbage. I've had several people complaining about this and that. And the other day, I'm going to use myself for an example, or my crew. We've had trash and trash cans for the last, we'll say, before the boats left up north. We dumped a couple of trash cans, and I told the guys to dump a few more. Granted, some was boat trash, some was some old fishing line that I threw in there. I don't know. Maybe we'll say some tags, some buoy tags. Probably rubber bands from lid hooks, etc. Well, the second time the crew went there to dump it, they were told they couldn't dump it because it had the rope in there, the rubber bands, blah, 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 etc. And my crew came back with the garbage cans, and I asked them what was going on. They explained to me. I said, that's true. They told me that it had to be household garbage from the boat. And then my crew continued to tell me that when they looked in the dumpster, there was branches, logs, and I don't remember what else they said. So what is allowed to go in those trash cans? And I'm not one for Mopar, but you know what? I do believe all ports have to have a trash can for plastic, rope, etc. As I looked it up a year and a half ago for this port. So tell me what we can and can't dump in them.
So the garbage that we have that's available for the commercial fishing, for all the users of the port, is for garbage that is produced on a day's fishing trip. You know, once you get back, you know, I know when, people get back, they have a bag full of garbage from whatever they have, you know, it's within reason, but is what we don't accept is a commercial waste. So, you know, the rubber bands, we've been trying to be good about the tags. If it's a garbage can, that's fine. But there's a pretty big conception out there that we should be accepting rope, that we should be accepting, you know, anything and everything that a commercial boat could produce in garbage. So you know, there's been multiple people that have been turned away when they show up to our to our dumpster with a bed full of old crab rope, of chairs, broken chairs, you know, whatever they decide they want to throw away. We have to remember that we raised everybody's deal 5%. It's to help with the garbage, but it's not free reign to produce a commercial waste. You know, there's still some responsibility that falls on the commercial fishermen to look at this as what's within reason to be dumping there. The logs came from the docks. The port, once they're picked up and put on our docks, we can't put them back in the water. And the port can't burn. We have no other, we can't just get, you know, we have to dispose of them. So the cheapest way when it's a small amount is to put them in the dumpsters. If we keep producing a large amount of it, then I have to get a wood dumpster, which is at a lesser rate, but it has to, you know, it, for us to have it on standby, it also costs us money. So it's a careful juggle about wood debris that go in there. We typically try and do it at the end, the end of the week when the dump is on Monday. So I know not everybody agrees or likes the fact that they can't throw away everything, but you know, when we got however many rolls of crab rope out there, that is extremely expensive for the port to get rid of if everybody decides they want to get rid of their rope.
And that's one of the problems. Why does the port eat it? I brought it up time after time, and everyone knows that I got a pet peeve for garbage. And now, what I think
I turn people away all.
I'm not arguing with you, Travis. I hear people say, "Well, Mopar says this, and Mopar says that," and maybe it's time that the port look into putting two slabs.
We've looked into this. Remember, we used to have the dumpsters at the top of each ramp. We used to have the individual bins that were in there for rope and for plastic. And you know what we pulled out of them? Couches, refrigerators, old stoves, bicycles. It becomes a dump. And then as far as the dumpsters, you know, you can't have the dumpsters that close to the water. So, you know, for the port, it's actually cheaper for us. I mean, we do provide a metal pile. We do have a metal bin that is accessible and free for people to get rid of their metal. You know, crab rope that typically, you know, and we haven't put a stop to it. It's actually worked really well for quite a few years, is that the people have put, you know, the crabbers have put their rope out there by the road, and, you know, the public seems to like it. We haven't encountered any major issues with it. And it really helps get rid of the amount of rope. And then, you know, typically at the end of the year, what's left we will throw away, because it becomes a little bit more manageable. So, as far as the MARPOL thing, you know, we're not like a dump that has individual containers, you know, marked for that use, but in the sense of having an area for those things to be disposed of, we do. It's just, you know, it's not readily available and open to the public. You know, sometimes you have to contact the port, you know, sometimes you got to move it around a little bit. It's either in the boatyard or, you know, now it's down here at the new shop. We have the oil that's also under lock and key. Most of all this is done because of the amount of vandalism and the, you know, the abuse that we've incurred from it.
Well, I understand, Travis, and I'm not arguing with you about it or nothing. I'm not upset with you or the port or anybody else. It's just that time after time, the commercial fishermen, I'm going to say it's the commercial fishermen, want to dump their stuff, whatever it is, you know. If it's a couch, well, it's a couch, but I'm not saying that's right. But maybe we should look at putting two slabs, one in front of each spot, port ramp, and a dumpster there, finding out how much it actually costs the port to have those two dumpsters dumped once, twice, 10 times a week, whatever it is. And if the fishermen truly wanted dumpsters, they can pay for it. How's that sound? There's no reason for, and I'm not trying to
The abuse would come. I mean, I'm open to have this conversation, at any time, but the problem is first of all, it kind of hits back to part of our security system. We can't keep putting out dumpsters and things like that and hoping that the intended users are going to be the ones that are going to be using it, because that's not what happens. Anybody that has, it's just, we have dumpsters. We have two of them dumped for basically the port and the commercial use, the boaters use every week. Each one of those dumpsters is somewhere around, I think, $300, $400 a piece. So it's, almost $800 a month to dump these things. If there's boaters, that have an excess of garbage, that needs to be taken care of, and they don't have the means to remove the trash, every commercial fisherman I think out there has my phone number. And if there's an issue, we will be happy to work with you guys to make sure it gets disposed of. But to have an open bin 24/7, I don't think it's in the fisherman's interest to pay for that. I think it'll cause a lot of issues. But, we're trying to make the trash that we have that's available to the people at a reasonable state. And if somebody has a couch, if somebody has it, it's going to cost the same amount, but the port will help get rid of it. But, that's the route that I see for the foreseeable future.
I'm not saying the couch, Travis. I just use that because you used it too. But
it's not out of the question.
Okay, I'm going to interrupt here for a minute. We're getting way off the agenda. We got to let the other commissioners. I think maybe this should be on an agenda upcoming soon. So maybe next year we won't have this problem. There are some other problems that reoccur every time this time of year that could also be discussed, but I'd like to have the other commissioners present. It'd be best, in my opinion, if it was a meeting where we're all in person. So we don't want to get off the agenda any further on that this evening, but I think everybody understands we have an item for discussion and try to find a final solution to every year this time of year, a problem that happens every October through January, February. So let's all say we had a great meeting tonight, super duper meeting. I think we have a great board. I think we have a great staff. I think we all discuss and work very well together. We have a lot of problems. We've solved a lot of problems, a lot of good. It's never going to be perfect. Richard, any discussion from you, Richard? Any comments?
No.
Ken, any comments, questions, comments from you?
No, I'm good.
Sharon, any comments, questions for you?
No. Yes, everybody have okay. A nice Christmas.
Absolutely, absolutely. And from me as well to all the other commissioners and staff, wonderful holidays, stay safe. But once again, I regenerate the unity of the staff, I think, and the board. Travis, your comment that you're open to discussion of a subject at any time was heavily noted. That's very professional. Thank you for that. A lot of burden on your part, on your job, on the staff's job. I would also like to say that there is a lot of good that happens. So, from my standpoint, if nobody has any further discussion, comments, we will terminate this meeting and we will all get together at another time. Any other further discussion from the board?
No.
No.
With that being said, we will adjourn this meeting. It is 7:27, December 15th, 2020. Thanks everybody for coming and attending and signing in and calling in.